right. Good morning, Life Point. We're almost there. We are almost there. We are less than a week away from 2021. And if you're just tuning in online, I know those that are here in person, you already kind of know what's going on. But if you're tuning in online, obviously you'll see that things look a little different on the stage and behind me. And that's because 2020 gave us one more gift. When we arrived this morning, our HVA system over in our main sanctuary was having all kinds of issues, and so we couldn't meet over there. So the team did a phenomenal job. They packed pretty much everything up from the sanctuary and moved it over to the chapel, got it all set up, and did so like in less than an hour. So shout out to the team. Give it up for them. Man, they're just, we have some of the most amazing people at Life Point Church, amazing service, and I'm thankful for each and every one of you. But today, like I said, we are almost there. It is almost 2021, and I'm not going to sit up here and lie or sugarcoat anything. 2020 has been rough, right? Like I don't think anyone would disagree with me in that 2020 has been a very rough year. It's been challenging, exhausting, terrifying, lonely, traumatizing, heartbreaking, sad. Just we've been through any and every type of emotion and experienced pretty much everything in 2020. Even, you know, murder hornets. You know, it's just been chaotic. It's been a wild, wild year. And as we enter into the new year, you know, there's this typical like feelings of optimism and excitement for the new year, right? It always brings about like this feeling that in the coming year things can be different. It's like a mental reset, like a reboot. And this year, more than probably any year in our history that we've been alive, it's like a new year's on steroids. Like everyone is just pumped and excited about 2021, hoping that it will lead to better days. Hoping that it'll lead to things being different, right? That things will reset, we can get back to normal, and we can move on with life once again. And it's because it's been a tough year, and everything has been magnified. So New Year's is magnified as well. But what I want you to understand, like seriously, I want you to understand this, that and wrap your heads around today and this coming week as we move into 2021, that just because a ball drops in New York City, which I don't even know if it's going to do that this year or not, I've not looked into that, but just because a ball drops and because some numbers change on a calendar, it doesn't actually mean that things are really going to change. And I don't mean to like be discouraging and negative about it, but that's the reality. Just because the clock hits 12 a.m. on January 1st, nothing external is really going to change. Everything that we are facing and dealing with right now will still be there. Everything that we are facing and dealing with as a city, in the city of Louisville, will still be there. Everything that you are dealing with and facing personally, man, it's still going to be there. Just because the calendar changes doesn't mean our external circumstances change. But it also doesn't mean that the start of 2020 can't and won't be different. It doesn't mean that either. You see, for 2021 to actually be different, to be better than 2020, ultimately, it depends on you and how you approach it. See, the external things aren't changing. The internal things must change. How you approach things have to change. Your mindset needs to change. Your attitude has to change. Your perspective on things need to change. See, it's the internal switch that must be flipped, not a date on a calendar. That's when we're going to see things change for the better. You know, when I think back on 2020 and think about moving forward in 2021, I want us as a church community and as a people in general, whether you're connected to Life Point or not, just people in general, we need to change our attitude and our mindset to that of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 and 18. And these three verses have really stuck out to me this week. And it says this, it says, therefore, we do not lose heart. I know a lot of people have lost heart in this year. But it says, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly, the external, outwardly, we are wasting away, yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an external glory that far outweighs them all. And check this out. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You see, if we want to be happier in 2021, if we want to be more efficient and effective and productive in 2021, if we want to be physically healthier, if we want our relationships to be healthier, our relationship with our spouse or our kids or our friends or our relationship with God, if we want those things to be healthier spiritually, if we want to be healthier financially and more stable, if we want to be able to kick those toxic habits that have held us back for years, whatever it is that we're trying to do personally and trying to achieve and grow to, it's only going to happen with an internal change, not with an external calendar shift. Now, the new year can be a pivot point for us, right? It can be a moment that we say, okay, here's where we're going to get serious. But it's not about changing the external, it's about changing the internal. And I pray that God would give you the focus, the determination, and the power to actually do those things this year, to make those changes, and to focus on the internal rather than the external. Because again, I don't really care who you are and how good you are or how well you're doing through 2020 or how well you're not doing. We all need this. We all need to give attention to what's going on inside of us. What's going on at a heart level. Because if we can get that corrected and in line and in check, then it doesn't matter what happens externally. It doesn't matter what happens around us. We're going to be solid. Doesn't mean it won't hurt. Doesn't mean it won't be frustrating, but we're going to be good. And we're going to be able to move forward. You see, as we enter into the new year, and we typically set out to achieve, you know, new goals, right? New Year's resolutions. One of the main issues we face with that as people is that again, we focus on the external and not the internal. And we end up approaching our goals from a flawed perspective. From honestly a toxic perspective of comparison. We like to look at other people who are either doing better, like maybe actually doing better in a certain area, or we perceive them to be doing better. And we get so like fixated on trying to measure up to them or to get on their level that we forget the little steps and the work that has to get done to get to that point. And when we skip the little steps and we go to the big things, and then we get super overwhelmed. We're like, man, I can't even think about all the huge, major life changes that I have to make to get onto their level. What are the huge changes that I'm going to have to make and the sacrifices I'm going to have to make to be able to do X, Y, and Z or achieve this goal that I need to achieve, this thing that I need to do. We get overwhelmed. And so typically when that happens, we just quit. That's why most New Year's resolutions never make it out of January. And if they do, they're going to die pretty quick in February. Because it's not an internal thing. We're focused on other people. We're comparing. And we're stressed out because we think of what we need to do to get to here. And we're looking at the big picture. And we're not looking at the baby steps that it's going to take to get there. And if you've ever found yourself in that boat, I know I have. I know many of you have because I've talked to you, just getting overwhelmed with the changes that you need to make and you kind of just shut down. I've got good news for you this morning. I got really good news, and I'm going to share with you something that if you've been a part of LifePoint Church, you've heard before. We go through this every year at the new year, and we're going to continue to do it because, like I said, everyone needs to hear this. Everyone needs to be reminded of this over and over. You see, I heard a pastor, Craig Rochelle, shared a message like this and very similar to this. And, you know, he was honestly a, you know, where I pulled a lot of this information from because it, and I share it with you because it drastically changed my life. And one of the things that he said, he says it like this. He says, it's the small things that no one sees that results in the big things that everyone wants. It's the small things that nobody sees. A lot of times it's the small things that fix the internal, right? The small things that tweak and focus our internal, our heart, right? Our mindsets that ends up resulting in the big things, those external things that everyone longs for. You all, a lot of you all know me. I am like obsessed with golf and I'm not actually as good as I think I am or I want to be. But the reality, the reason of that is because of this. When you see those guys on TV, if you ever watch golf, most people don't, I get it. But if you do, those dudes and the women that play, they are incredible. They're incredibly precise. They hit an iron shot from like middle of the fairway, like 200 yards out, and they hit it, you know, on the green, and they're mad because it wasn't closer to the hole. I'd be like stoked if it just rolled up onto the green, period. But it's because they put in hours and hours and hours hitting golf balls and putting. Same thing with basketball. They shoot layups and free throws over and over and over and over. But nobody sees those things. We don't always have practices, you know, and their workouts on TV all the time. We just see the big result. It's the little things that will get you to where you need and want to be. We just have to focus on the small things because it's the small things that nobody sees that results in the big things that everyone wants. An example of this is reading the Bible in a year, right? How many of you would say that if you could read through the Bible in 1 year, that it would be good for your relationship with Jesus, it would be good for your faith, it would strengthen your faith, your knowledge base, and you would be closer to God, and you would be more confident in your faith? How many of you all believe that would be the case? Online, throw up an emoji if you're on there. Right. And if you're like me, and you're not like a huge reader, and you have ADD, and you start reading, and your mind goes off everywhere, and then you look at the Bible, and you hold it in your hand, and you look at like how thick it is, and how small the words are, you get overwhelmed. Because it seems like a big thing. When in reality, if you just read the Bible for 10, 15 minutes a day, every day, consistently, you'd make it through in a year no problem. Not a problem at all. If you spent an hour, which is a big thing, but if you love to read, you spent an hour, you could probably read through the Bible in 3 months, 4 months. It's the small things that nobody sees that results in the big results. You want to lose some weight. You got to think about, you see all these ads, you know, as soon as you say it out loud, man, I think I want to get on a diet or lose some weight. Then, you know, your phone hears it. And the next thing you know, on Google, on all your social media, you're getting ads for, you know, weight loss and this diet and this pill and this thing, blah, 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 blah. And so then it becomes overwhelming. But the reality is if you need to lose some pounds, start drinking water. Drink more water and walk 15 minutes a day consistently. Slowly over time, you're going to see some major, major differences. When my coach in high school, he was a large man, and he did that. And in a year, he lost probably 100 pounds, and that's all he did. Everyone thought he was doing some kind of crazy crash diet and this and this and that, but it was consistent life change. But it was a small tweak. It wasn't anything major. You want to change your relationship with your spouse, and just carve out some time to communicate. Carve out time to talk to them. Carve out time maybe even to pray with them. Just maybe in the morning over a cup of coffee, 10 or 15 minutes, or laying in bed at night before you go to bed, whatever it may be, but just carve out some intentional time to have good, healthy communication. And guys, that means you actually shut up and listen to them. That's what communication means. I'm going to help you out with that 2021. That could change your life right there. But we have to remember that it's the small things that nobody sees that results in the huge things that everybody wants. But we have to focus on the small things and be consistent with it. I'm telling you, 2021 could be very different for you. Again, despite what's going on in the world around us, if we can make some of these small tweaks and really, really focus on being consistent in those changes. And so with that said, I want us to check out a passage of scripture found in the book of Zechariah. And we're going to work through a few verses, and then I'm going to give you an assignment for this week. So you're going to have homework. Just is what it is. Let's close out 2020 doing some work, right? So, but first, before we do that, I want to give you a little bit of context of what's going on in this passage of scripture. And at this time, the time that this was written, basically the temple had been destroyed and God's people were currently in captivity. So needless to say for them, it was a very dark time in their history. They were very down and depressed. Sounds familiar, right? That's been like described as our culture right now. Everyone's down and kind of in a funk and a little bit depressed. But in the year 538 BC, there was a decree that went out that allowed some of those who were in exile to come back to their homeland. So shortly after that, King Zerubbabel was able to lead a group back to Israel, and that began to birth some hope within them, right? There was just this little glimmer of hope that things could be different. And then God told King Zerubbabel that he was going to use him to rebuild the temple. And so that's kind of what we see going on here in this passage. So let's pick up here in Zechariah chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 6. It says, "Then he said to me, 'This is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It is not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit, so that the Lord, says the Lord of heaven's armies.'" In other words, he's basically telling him that this temple is not going to be rebuilt by your skill set. This temple is not going to be built by what you can do, but the only way this temple is going to be built is through God working through you. God said, my spirit is what's going to change the game. And it's my spirit that's going to allow you to be successful in this. You see, if we go about these life changes, like our happiness, you know, being successful in 2021 and doing all these things on our own, sure, we might be able to make a little bit of progress, but I don't know what your experience is, but typically for me, when I try to go out on my own and do it my own way, in my own power, I have maybe some traction at first, but then I end up slowing down, and then I end up failing, screwing up, getting frustrated. But when we can tap into the power of God and His Spirit, He can radically transform us. Again, because it's an inward change. And when we do that, there's nothing that we can't do with Him working in and through us. One of my favorite things about how God operates and how He works, and it's that the fact that it's in our weakness, our flaws, our imperfections, that God's power is actually made perfect. I told the team that when we prayed right before the service this morning. It's like, hey, look, everything has gone haywire this morning. We've just been kind of running around like crazy. But it's okay, because in our weakness and in this issue, it's when God's power is made perfect. And this was so beautiful about having that relationship with Him. So we can do anything through Him, no matter what. We've got to allow it His Spirit to work in and through us. And so God lets Zerubbabel know that He is going to give him His Spirit and His power to rebuild this temple. And then in verse 7 it says, "Nothing, not even a mighty mountain, will stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will become a level plain before him." Basically giving us the confidence to know that if it's from God and He's working in and through us, there's nothing that can stop us. Nothing can stand in our way. And he continues, "And when Zerubbabel sets the final stone of the temple in place," notice he says when, not if, but when he sets the final stone of the temple in place, "the people will shout, 'May God bless it, may God bless it.'" I love the fact that even before the work began, even before the first stone was laid in the temple, God was already celebrating the fact that it was going to be completed and that it was going to be beautiful, and there was celebration. And it's because nothing can stop the power of God working in and through you when you are fixated and focused and moving in the direction that He is leading. Verse 8, "Then another message came to the Lord. 'Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple, and he will complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of heaven's armies has sent me. And then check this out, verse 10. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. The Lord rejoices to see the work begin. When we begin to make those internal changes in our life, those things that we know we need to do, whether it be like spiritually life-changing, or maybe it's even a physical thing that we need to be working on that God is saying, hey, you need to begin to do. When we start to do that, a lot of times it's not very impressive right off the bat. It's a slow start. But God says, don't despise these small beginnings. For King Zerubbabel, it said, yeah, you may have just laid out the foundation, like one set of stones all the way around, and it may look like you've not done much, but do not despise those small beginnings. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. God rejoices in the small beginnings. And man, we really, really need to hear this today, because we get super frustrated when things don't happen like that. We live in a day and age and a culture of immediate gratification, right? We want it, and we want it now, and we want it the way we want it. We don't want to wait. You all know I've shared it plenty of times. I lose my mind in Starbucks' drive-thru. And McDonald's double order window drive-thru, don't even get me started. I will shame myself. I got to pray before I pull up. Lord, help me. Help me not that crazy. But it's because we want things quick. We want it right then and there. And honestly, life transformation, anything that's actually worth it, doesn't work that way. It's a slow grind. But even the slow steps are beautiful. They're beautiful because we're making our way. Again, you say you want to lose weight and you start, you know, eating healthy, walking, drinking water, doing all those things, maybe even going to the gyms a couple times a week, and then you get on the scale after a month and you've only lost a pound or two and you're frustrated, right? And then you see this other person and, you know, they, you know, posted their picture from the 20 pounds they lost, you know, like that, you know, in a month. And you're frustrated because you're comparing. And what do we typically do? Well, if I'm only going to lose a couple pounds, then forget it. I'm going to go eat whatever I want to eat. I'm going to do what I want to do. Same thing, honestly, with our relationship with Jesus. You set out to, you want to read the Bible in a year, and you need to read every day, and then you fall off track. And if you're using one of the apps, you know, it really likes to remind you when you log back in, like, hey, you missed 8 days. Like, right off the bat, it's like, thanks for shaming me. I appreciate that. And so then we get so far behind, we're like, it was never going to happen. And then we just quit. But God says, do not despise the small beginnings. Any little step of progress is beautiful in his eyes, especially when we're moving towards the things that he wants us to do. You see, because if we will remain faithful and diligent in doing those things, allowing God to work in and through us to change the inside, right, focus on the small things. He promises us that we will see that end result. It will be completed. It will be done. It may seem small now, but one day we're going to look back and be like, man, it seemed so frustrating right then, but I kept pushing, and man, look at where God has brought me. Look at what God has done. Because he's faithful. He loves us. He wants to see us become more and more like him. We just have to be faithful and diligent in doing the small things that he leads us to do. We have to be willing to lay the first stone, right? If King Zerubbabel was like, okay, but I want it built now. Like, God, do a miracle. Build it. Boom. No. He had to be willing to say, first stone, there we go. Second stone, here we go. He had to follow those steps. And I'm sure there was times that it was frustrating. But when we're willing to lay the first stone and we're faithful and diligent with it, God blesses it. And he blesses it, and he blesses it, and eventually it's a beautiful temple. And he can do that for you if we just focus on one thing. One small thing can make all the difference. So here's your assignment. And if you've been at LifePoint Church, you know what it is already. But we're going to give it to you. And for those online, if this is your first time checking out LifePoint, or you checked out LifePoint for the first time this year, here's your assignment. And it's very simple, very doable, and it's very life transformational. What I want you to do is I want you in 2021 just to focus on one thing. Just one thing. And how we're going to do that is we're going to seek God in prayer for just one word. One word. Not a word that you want. You've got to take it to God. You've got to spend time in prayer and listen. God, what is the one word that will guide me through this coming year? What is the one word that you want to use so that I can focus on to take me from point A to point B? So that I can lay the first stone. What is that one word? And then once you have that one word, I want you to take it a step further and I want you to pair it with one verse. Because again, remember, this isn't about our efforts and our abilities, but it's about God working in and through us. Us doing this in the power of His Holy Spirit. So we pair our one word, our one God-given word, with one verse. And then we watch as God transforms our life through that. This is something, again, that we've done in the past several years here at Life Point Church, and the stories that I've heard from individuals in doing this is amazing. It's amazing how God uses that one word throughout the year. And then when they look back at the end of the year, they're like, man, because I focused on hope, or because I focused on diligence, or confidence, or whatever it is, I had all these things that I was challenged and faced with, and because I focused on that word, I was able to knock it out of the park and keep moving forward. It's because God gave them that word and knew that that was going to be the word and the thing that they could, single thing they could focus on to take them to the next level. I want to encourage you to do this. It's been transformational for me personally. That's why I'm so passionate about this. It's been transformational for my family. We sit down about this time every year and we start working through and we talk about it. What's your one word going to be? What's your one verse going to be? And we talk about it. We talk about how our one word from the year past has really impacted us. For me, over the years, my words have been wisdom, and then trust, and then connected. And last year, it's kind of ironic, it was hope. Boy, I got to tap into that word a lot in 2020. But it gives us a single focus. And God can use that to do amazing, amazing things, to produce amazing results. And this is something I believe can be incredibly beneficial for you as well. I think God will really use this in your life if you'll commit to this. For me and my family, like I said, we've been talking about it and we're still working through it. We're going to work through it some this year. But for Amelia, her word this year at this point is confidence. Sawyer's word is hope. They're still both working on, you know, and what their one verse connected to that is going to be. Jen's word is purpose. We talked about it last night. Her verse is Joshua 1:9, which says, "This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." For me, my one word for 2021 is seek. Is just to continue to seek God in everything, to seek Him. And my one verse is a verse that I grew up singing about in Sunday school. If you went to Sunday school, you probably already know what it is. When I say seek, you're already going to probably sing it in your head if you grew up in the church. It's a verse that I've had memorized for a long, long time. And it's Matthew 6:33, which says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously." And it says, "And He will give you everything you need." Seek first the kingdom of God, and He will give you everything you need. And in a world and a time coming out of a year that's been filled with stress and fear and anxiety and change and the unknown, for a perfectionist like me, it's been challenging. Incredibly challenging, but I know that in this coming year, if I just seek God, He will give me everything I need to continue to move forward. So that's my focus. That's my word for the year. And I'm going to go back to it over and over and be reminded to seek God. And I can't wait to see what He does in my life and in my family's life as we focus on these words. So what about you? What is your one word going to be for 2021? Again, I think now more than ever, we need this. We have to focus on this. We have to focus on the internal. We can't worry about everything that's going on outside and around us. It doesn't mean that we don't care about it. It doesn't mean that there's not things that we need to do, because as a church, we have a role in loving our community and speaking up for justice and speaking up for what is right and speaking against what is wrong. We have a part to play in that. So I'm not saying to ignore those things, but that can only be done in a healthy and successful way when we're right on the inside. And the only way that we can truly be right on the inside to do that is to be connected to Jesus and allow him to change us, allow him to walk point in anything and everything that we do. So for you, what will your one word be? Will you join me in identifying, seeking God for that one word, and then pair it with a verse? Your assignment is this week, if you've not done this already, is to spend some time in prayer. It could be some, like, you can actually spend a lot of time in prayer at one time, or just talk to God throughout the day. That's what I like to do. I have way too ADHD to sit down and like pray for an hour at a time. I just get distracted. But as I'm going through my day, I'm talking to God randomly. If I'm at the gym, I'm like mumbling prayers and, you know, doing weird stuff. People probably think I'm crazy. They're probably right. But spend some time with Jesus this week and ask him, what is the word that I need for 2021? What word do you want me to focus on to guide and direct my year? And when he gives you that word, because he will, if you seek him, he will give you that word. When you do that, I want you to begin to find one verse to pair that with. And allow him to speak to that as well. And that's made easy nowadays, because say your word is, whether it's like hope, growth, patience, generosity, unity, whatever it might be, all you really have to do is go to Google. And type in Google, whatever your word is, scripture on hope, scripture on peace, scripture on seeking God. And you're going to get like a plethora of verses that pop up. And I don't want you just to go, that one. No, I want you to read through them. Spend some time in prayers. God, give me the verse that you want me to focus on. And then just start reading through them. And from my experience, he's going to point it out. He's going to speak to you, and you're going to be like, that's it. I heard you, God. That one's it right there. And then once you have your verse and your word, man, just put them somewhere visible. I always say, like, write it on your mirror, type it up if you're into that, you know, if you're craftsy, put it in a frame and put it on your dresser or on your refrigerator, in your phone, make it your screen, you know, whatever. But keep it in front of you so that you could keep going back to that word and keep going back to that verse, and that you meditate on it and you allow God to use that verse to guide you through this coming year. And if you do that, don't be surprised when you come to the end of the year and people notice a change in you. Don't be surprised when they come to you and be like, hey, you know, you really weren't like that invested and involved in your church like back at the beginning of the year, but man, now you're all in. Or like, you know, man, your marriage always seemed like it was kind of on the rocks. Like y'all didn't really care about each other, but now you're like newlyweds, man. You're like just so stoked about your marriage and you're all over each other and go get a room and whatever it might be, you know. Or if it's, you know, your work ethic at your job, they're like, man, maybe you were kind of lazy before. You're doing the bare minimum. Now you're busting it every day to do your best. Maybe just your relationship with God in general. Yeah, I knew you were a Christian, but you never talked about it, but now you won't shut up about it. And they're going to probably ask, like, what major life changes did you make? What huge things did you do this past year? And you're going to be able to look back and be like, you know what? There wasn't anything major. It was just these small little tweaks that I made. And I was consistent with them. And being consistent with them, God began to change me from the inside out. And it changed my life. See, it's the small things that nobody sees that results in the big things that everyone wants. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by Instagram and Facebook when you see somebody out there posting their highlight reel. Because that's all that stuff is. That's not real life. When you post real life, people get uncomfortable and they don't like it. They post their highlight reel. And in posting your highlight reel, we tend to look at that and compare ourselves to it. Understand that that's not how it works. It's laying the first stone, and then the next, and then the next. And over time, in those small beginnings, they become these beautiful life transformational things that God does in us. Small things that no one sees that result in the big thing that everyone wants. So for you, today, spend some time this week and identify your one word for 2021. And I really hope and pray that you will join me in that. And if you already know what it is, maybe you knew this was coming, like us, and you've already prepared for it, and you already know what it is, man, I really want to encourage you to share that with somebody before you leave, if you're here in person, or if you're online and you know what it is, drop it in the comment section. I'm going to be posting out this week on social media what your one word is, and I really want you to share that, because I think when we know what each other's word is, we can encourage each other. We can truly do life together in that way. But in 2021, what is your one word? And what is your one verse? And I pray that you would join me in that. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for dying for us. Jesus, we're so thankful that your power is made perfect in our weakness. And then when things don't go according to plan, like 2020 has been, like this morning has been here, that none of that matters when you're on the throne. None of that matters when you're in control, because we know that through you we have victory. We know that through you that our weakness, our flaws, and our failures are made perfect because of you. And only through you. And we thank you for that. And as we move beyond 2020 and into 2021, and we know that things aren't automatically going to be different, Jesus, we pray, one, that you would begin to bring a healing spirit over our country. We pray that you would bring, most importantly, a healing spirit within us. Because it's been tough, and we're hurting, and we do have trauma, and we've been negatively affected by the things that we've been through this year. Jesus, so we pray that you would heal us from that. And allow us to see the beauty and the positives that are going to come from the past year that we've been through. The perspective changes, figuring out us being able to see what truly matters in life. Help us to focus on those things as we move forward and not the negative. Heal us in those areas that we're broken. We thank you, Jesus. As we continue this morning in a spirit of prayer, maybe you're here and or you're watching online, and for you, the one thing that you need to do above everything is to receive Jesus as your Savior. You've never stepped over that line of faith. You've maybe always danced around it. You kind of pop in and out online or here in person, but you've never really given your life to Jesus. And if that's you, I just want to tell you that God loves you more than anything. And he wants to be connected with you, and he wants to be in a relationship with you. That's why he sent his son Jesus. We just celebrated Christmas, the birth of Jesus. That's why he did that. Lived a perfect, sinless life and then died on the cross for you, taking on your guilt and your shame, and then rose victoriously so that we could be saved, forgiven, made right before God. He did that for you. And scripture says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, that you'll be saved. Confessing you have flaws and that you're not perfect and that you actually need a Savior, and believing that Jesus is who he said he is. That's what it's about. And so if you're ready to take that next step in your faith journey, step over that line of faith into belief, all you have to do is call out to Jesus. Confess and believe. And if you have questions about that, feel free to reach out to me after the service. If you're online and you have questions, go ahead and drop a comment. Let us know that. Or you can send us a direct message. Someone from the team will get back with you as quick as we can. Love to talk you through that. But maybe you're here this morning or you're watching whenever online, and 2020 has really kicked your tail. It's been a tough year. Maybe you even selected one word at the beginning of the year, and you're right now trying to think, I don't even remember what my one word is because it's been so chaotic. That's okay. But reboot, retool. The calendar date doesn't change anything, but you can begin to change things internally right now. You don't have to wait till January 1. But begin to make that shift. Make that change. Allow God to work in and through you. Not in your strength, but in His. Seek Him for that one word, and you focus on it. Allow Him to change your life. To change your year. Jesus, again, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for our time. We thank you for being our Lord, our King, our hope. And again, I pray that 2021 would be an incredible and beautiful year for each and every person that's here and that's watching online, that you would bless them, that they would focus on the internal and allow you to handle the external. Jesus, we love you. We thank you. We pray that you would do amazing things in us and through LifePoint Church in 2021. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your work. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you all so much for being here with us once again for LifePoint Online. If this is your first time here with us, thank you all so much for being here and hanging out with us and checking out LifePoint Church. If you'd like more information or if you have any questions, you can either drop a comment below or you can visit us on our website or any of our social media platforms. And if you have questions, just go ahead and ask and someone from our team will get back with you as soon as we possibly can. Also, if you want to continue to worship with your tithes and your offerings, or if you just simply want to give to LifePoint Church, you could head over to our website. It's lpc502.com. In the top right-hand corner is an online giving button. If you click it, it takes you to a safe and secure place where you can give. You can also begin to text to give by texting the amount that you want to give to the number 84321. But however you choose to give, we are just so thankful and humbled by the fact that you're on mission and that you're giving back just a portion of what it is that God has blessed you with. Again, thank you all so much for being here with us today. We hope that you'll join us in connecting and doing life online throughout the week. And until next Sunday, we'll see you later. Have a great one.